This is Datum or Ditch'em, the dating show that debates whether a couple's first date is a home run.
You are everything I never knew I always wanted.
Or a run for home.
To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people.
And now, the host of Datum or Ditch'em, the date doctor, Jamie Blazinski.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Datum or Ditch'em. I am Jamie, the date doctor, here with my husband,
Eric.
And we are talking about love, dating, and relationships. The best way to find us is go to Got5, that's the number 5minutes.com. Follow us on Facebook. We're getting close to 4,000 followers on there. Facebook pages, just search The Date Doctor, and you get to see a lot of these threads live and get involved with these discussions, and it's pretty interesting.
Okay.
All right, Eric, I have some things that I've just sort of collected. We haven't done a show in about a month, and just some topics here that I'm going to jump right into. And they're not exactly all in the format of Datum or Ditch'em, but they're things that I wanted to talk about. Most recently, I get a message from somebody that is newly dating, not really newly dating. They've been dating for about almost 6 months now. So they're in a significant relationship. And she is upset because they're fighting about how much they disagree with opinions about this whole tragedy in Florida, about the high school shooting. Why are you making a face? Are my levels okay?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay. So they're having a whole issue about this where they don't agree on whether or not there should be guns in school. There should be a gun ban. The people that were caring for this kid, are they at all responsible? Blah, blah, blah. This gets them into a huge fight. And I don't think this is uncommon. I mean, I think that there's a lot of people that have really extreme different opinions on this subject.
Yeah, they might.
Here's my opinion of this. Just don't talk about it. I mean, why do you guys need to? What drives me crazy, it's one thing to have an opinion, and I can support anyone's opinion. I understand some people think that personnel in the high schools should be armed. I understand some people think that it was really scary to have guns in the schools. I get everybody's different opinions, but it's okay to have your opinion. But to have this expectation that you're going to change someone else's opinion because you think one way is just not realistic.
Well, you can change other people's opinions.
Sure, but you don't have to. If you're dating someone and you don't agree, just say he thinks that school personnel should be armed and she thinks that guns should only be in the hands of police officers. Just suppose that was the case. Isn't that okay? Can't two people be in a relationship even though they don't agree on that?
Sure.
Because the truth is, Eric, neither one of those things are going to happen.
Well, there was the thing in the Date Doctor Facebook group the other day that said something about the gun. I don't really remember, but I said there's two things that aren't changing in this country. That's gun laws, or to the extent that the people want these things confiscated. It's never happening. And abortion. Like, these things are not changing. But everybody, or a lot of people, make significant decisions both in choosing a mate and in electing political candidates over these two issues.
Yeah, like just knowing that the person that you're dating thinks that way is enough that people are ruling people out. Isn't it okay? Why isn't it okay that two people don't think the same about it?
I don't know. I think some people get very animated about it. They get very, very political. Well, what's the term I'm looking for here? They feel very strongly about topics like this. So when they do that, they think that anyone who doesn't think like them is
not worthy,
idiot.
Is an idiot.
Not a person that they want to talk to or deal with.
There's lots of people that think this is a mental health issue, and there's lots of people that think this is a gun issue. So if you pick one of those, you're in company with lots and lots of people. So it's not so bizarre that somebody might think one and somebody else might think the other. These are two very common things that people think.
Well, the truth is there's truth to probably every argument, you
absolutely.
Know? So if you're
going to,
yeah.
So can't you respect that? Can't you, I guess, Eric, what kind of person is so caught on that they can't even accept that someone else's opinion may be worthy and have some valid points?
Well, you know, there's people think like abortion is murder and they don't want to be in a relationship with someone who is a murderer or who they think is a murderer. That's where that stuff comes from. if you feel that strongly about this stuff, then, you know, just find someone who agrees with you, I guess, you know, or who you have respect for their opinion. You know, I can understand why someone might feel strongly about a topic like, you know, murder, and don't want to be in a relationship with someone who they consider a murderer.
Right, but somebody that's just pro-choice is not necessarily a murderer.
Yeah, but we're not talking about that. We're not talking about a person who is simply pro-choice. We're talking about someone who has a little more of an extreme view and think that abortion is murder. Right?
Yeah, but right. What kind of people... I mean, if you have such extreme views, you really... push a lot of people out of your life that might
but they're okay with that. You
they're
know,
okay
people
with
that. Strong
yeah.
views like that, they're okay with that. It means that much to them. They value that so much
that they just can't do it.
That it's how they make decisions.
And
you know?
I think
and I can almost see it. I can kind of see how people can do it. And I can see that in a, you know, when selecting a mate. I can't see that though when selecting a political candidate. Who, though more so than your mate, has probably more control over that. But there are issues that are not changing. So
I was talking to my dad about this yesterday, and he was saying that people who have a mental health history should not have guns and that this should show up in their criminal background check. But the problem is, if it's in their criminal, if anyone that's ever been institutionalized or gone in a mental hospital or, I don't know, had psychiatric treatment, if anybody that's ever done that, if that's going to show up in your criminal background check, that's going to show up when you go for a job. So you got the mental health advocates that are like, hey, well, I mean, either you have it or you don't. And then you say, well, unless it was multiple times or a different level of extremity, like, where are you going to cut it off? Most people...
No, you don't have to have that show up in a job. Why would you have to have
if
that?
If it's in the criminal background check for a gun, it's in the criminal background check for a job.
Well, then don't put it in the criminal background check.
Well,
put it
how,
in a mental health check. Like, maybe it doesn't have to be the same thing. You know, there's other solutions to a problem other than this is how a thing is today and must be tomorrow.
So we should have something called a mental health background check that only gun people can use and jobs aren't allowed to.
Well, I don't know. I don't know the answer to the situation, but that would be a potential solution to merging it with a background check. But as an employer, I think it's a good thing to know if someone has some sort of mental health.
Well, that's
history.
That goes back to like Tipper Gore was the one that fought for that so that nobody can ask that. You can't discriminate against that. There's all these.
What?
There was a whole big push years ago about not discriminating against people with mental health issues and that it's unfair. But now with the gun thing, you know.
Wait a minute. So if you're hiring someone and you identify that this person has, let's say, schizophrenia, which is a mental health disorder, you're saying that I have to hire them if they're qualified.
You can't ask and you can't collect that information. If somebody discloses that.
You can discern, you know, you could probably discern this in an interview or something.
No
like,
way.
Like, oh, that person's a wacko.
People can't even find this stuff out on dates. You know, it takes so long to discover things like that. People, it's not that obvious a lot.
Huh. Okay.
You know, I mean, the caretakers of this Nicholas Cruz claim that he was perfectly normal and they didn't notice anything.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe so. I don't know.
But
wasn't there.
Anyways, just agree not to talk about it. If you've been dating someone for 6 months and you get along and you're really happy, don't get so upset that you can't change the way that person thinks. Thinking differently on this topic is not an uncommon thing. If you like somebody, they treat you well and you're happy, isn't it possible that you could say, we disagree on this, but he's still a great guy. I know a lot of people think like he does, and I'm going to let this go. Isn't that a possibility so that you can date and be happy?
Yeah, there was a show that I listened to called Get Off My Lawn, and it's an interesting show. And this guy had this woman on this week who was like a dyed-in-the-wool feminist, you know, and she had this feminist boyfriend. And she ended up changing her mind about feminism and had to bring the boyfriend along with her, you know, and now they're getting married and stuff like that. But I think you can change people's mind
but you don't
some respects, but you have to be respectful about it.
Yes. I've definitely changed my way of thinking since I met you, but it was just, I'm always open to considering the possibility that there's other ways to think about things.
Yeah.
And some people just can't let go of things. And if you can't let go of it, just agree not to talk. These things don't need to be talked about, or find a commonality that mm-hmm. it's tragic. The poor family, they do, you know, whatever parts about it that are sad that you can connect on is fine, but mm-hmm. can't change that opinion. And all right. So date, just stop complaining about it. Too many people are ruling people out based on these little tiny things that really are not that relevant if you find someone that makes you happy. And it's driving me crazy, Eric. It's keeping people single longer than they need to be. Just let this stuff go.
Yeah, people make a big deal out of little things frequently. Like if you notice, so in this last shooter thing, all the kids are coming out. I mean, some of the kids are coming out. And they had a girl on TV the other day screaming at a press conference, and people are applauding this. Look, this is not a way to do things. You don't get out there and just start screaming. I mean, this doesn't make any sense. And you see it at these protests and all sorts of just people screaming all the time.
Like hate. It comes from hate as opposed to like a Martin Luther King, who it comes from his heart. I mean, right. The way to make change is not to just scream. I get it.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is like everything has become very polarized in our culture.
And rewarded
as this is a thing that is either acceptable or not acceptable, and we're not allowing for any gray areas. And it probably makes having any kind of meaningful relationship somewhat difficult unless you completely agree. Because once you go a little bit off of agreement, then you're, screaming and polarizingly hating each other.
Right. I could date probably either view on guns and stuff like that, as long as they weren't extreme and angry if I didn't agree with them. And it's that part that gets really unattractive.
Yeah. Right. Even if they're extreme, you know, it's all right. Well, I respect what you think. I don't think that way, but
leave me alone. Yeah.
Well, what happens when you start like raising children and things like that? Who gets to win those debates?
I don't know. You let the kid, the biggest thing that you can do is help the kid to critically think.
Mm. But you get times where the parents manipulate. I'll give an example. Can I give an example?
Of our family?
Yes.
No.
Oh, come on.
No.
Because you know you're the manipulator.
Not intentionally. What kind of a thing is that to say? I mean, if I'm sharing my opinion and my viewpoint, mm-hmm. my intentions are not to manipulate. It's to listen.
Well, how about yesterday? Trevor was sick. He had a hockey game. 8:30 in the morning, he was sick, and he definitely could have, you know, he wouldn't have been super effective, but he could have played.
He threw up, Eric. He threw up. He said, "Dad, I can't play. I am too sick. Dad, I don't want to play." And then he went and threw up. I never said that he should or shouldn't play. I kept saying, "Eric, you need to listen to him."
I know, but I think you did influence him to think that way.
Well, as a mother, we look to take care of our child's health first. Mm. And him exerting himself when he said, "I can't get on the ice because I'm too sick," I think you need to listen to what he was saying. And then when he went and threw up, he was afraid he would throw up on the ice. So I appreciate your passion and your commitment to the team and the sport, but I'm listening to him saying it. It had nothing to do with me. My words were, "You need to listen to him." Mm. And that's what I said. Got it?
I think your words were, "Gee, do you think you can play today? How do you feel? Do you think you can play?"
That's how a mother talks to a child.
Yeah, I know. But my approach, had you not been there, would have been, let's just go through the motions. And if the kid brings it up and says, I'm just way too sick to play, then, okay, I respect that a lot more than, "Do you think you'll be able to play? You look a little too sick. I don't know." You know what I mean?
You know, I'm not going to defend or argue this. This is how mothers talk to their kids. This is what mothering is, and fathers are what you're describing, and that's what provides balance in raising your child. Mm-hmm. And if you have one parent that's thinking we should arm all our personnel in school, and another parent that's saying nobody except police should have a gun, this is horrible, then you both get to share it. And if they align more with one parent, maybe they're more influenced. That's just what happens in life. I remember this. My ex-husband had very different political views than you, and he was very upset that you were going to be influencing my older son. Uh-huh. And it was like, well, too bad. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, yeah, he spends a lot of time in my house. He might be influenced. That's life.
Right.
That's the way things happen. So, yeah, sometimes that happens. Mm-hmm. You're right. All right. Got another question here. I have heard you talk about drama before. There's a girl I'm newly dating and she's very negative. Sometimes I call and I say at the end of the day, hey, how you doing? And I sort of cringe as the words come off my tongue because I know she's going to start with blah, 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 blah. And she's going to go off in a rant.
What'd you ask for?
Yeah. Stop asking. You know, I want to just talk.
Or you can ask this. All right. So what went well in your day today?
That's a really good idea. And that's a really good idea. Just don't even give them the opportunity. And if they do start to rant, don't even respond with any energy. You're not obligated to go, oh, I'm sorry. You're not obligated to coddle because that encourages that behavior. And I was thinking about this the other day, Eric. Mm-hmm. And I think I came up with a number three, that you should only have three people in your life that when they say, how are you, that you really can open up and divulge the entire truth. And the reason I came up with three is because I have three. I have basically three friends that if something was wrong, I would call them up and I'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. My event, blah, blah, blah. I'm stressed. I got to unload this. There's a minimal number of people that get that. And that's because we have an agreed upon relationship that we support each other in good times and bad. I don't just have every person I run into at the bus stop or the mailbox or the grocery store and go, oh, I've been so stressed lately. Work is so busy. I can't. Nobody cares. So if your number is more than three, you need to think about, because you know what happens when we share drama, Eric, or we post? Those kill me. The Facebook posts.
You invite drama.
Yeah. Have I said this before?
I don't know.
No. Yeah. The minute you post something bad, every time there's a comment, we inflate that. And that becomes a bigger and bigger part of our day and our life. So if you shut up about it or you unload it to a close friend and then you end the conversation, that friend isn't going to keep bugging you. Oh, did you figure it out yet? Did you? Especially like.
Well, maybe that's what this person is. Maybe this person thinks that, you know, this is one of her close friends that she wants to unload all this stuff to every
day. Oh, maybe the guy is one of the three, but he doesn't want to be it. So you need to get a feel for whether or not it's welcome, because you're really going to repel some healthier people and just attract unhealthy people.
There's a lot of people out there that are willing to take on what this guy is talking about here.
Yeah, so just catch yourself, though, and ask yourself, whoa, maybe I tell way too many people my drama. Maybe I'm growing the drama in my personal life, and this is unattractive, and maybe I can catch myself and stop doing it.
So you're saying she's a drama incubator.
I'm just saying, if you catch it, if you're about to say you're at the bus stop and you see a neighbor, she's like, hey, how you doing? And you want to be like, oh my God, I'm so stressed out, and blah, blah, blah. If you catch yourself and you be like, I'm going to share something positive. Oh, good. I'm making a great dinner tonight. I'm using my crock pot. You have any crock? Like, if you turn it to something happy, you get to inflate that part of your life.
So just ask her then. So what went well today?
Yeah, well, right. But I'm trying to put this on the people that like to share the drama. But everybody should ask, what was great in your day today? Imagine how much better it would be.
I think we should have like once a week or twice a week family meetings where we all get together. And we say, all right, so what is going well with our family right now? What is not going well with our family right now? And what has to happen to for the family to be going well?
I would love to do that. Would you really? I mean, I don't know how often we would do it, but that would be great.
Once a week.
A mother would love to do that. But everybody would have to be open to criticism and feedback without being defensive.
Well, where does the criticism and feedback come into play?
Where? Because if someone says what's not going well is that you got really aggravated and short-tempered because I loaded the dishwasher wrong.
That is not a thing that would be, that's not how you would do it. You would keep things to like a more higher level than that specific.
I say we record it.
What is going well in our family? This, that, the other thing. Was not going well. You know, you don't necessarily have to get that specific, but I suppose you could.
You might.
It could be mom keeps yelling at dad.
I mean, it's either, well, that would never happen. It's either going to be a safe, just kidding. It's either going to be a safe place where we can say exactly what we're feeling and the other person has to listen to it and think about what they can do differently with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that could be genius. Relationships should do that. Couples should sit down and say, what's going well in our relationship right now and what could we improve? And they both have to be open to that possibility. But if you're dating like a narcissist, that narcissist is not going to be willing to say, you're right. Because a narcissist needs to be special and important and right. And if he's not in that place or she's not in that place, she's just going to flip. Mm-hmm. So you need to be with mentally healthy people.
Okay.
All right. So he can date her, but don't ask her how her day was. Ever.
Yeah. Stop asking. Anyway. Okay. Next.
Dating a guy who's been separated for almost a year. Divorce is almost final. We talk pretty honestly, and I really like that about us, but he still has so much guilt, remorse, regret, and garbage from this divorce. I dated another divorced man prior, and he seemed to move on in a more appropriate way. Why is breaking up or getting over a divorce so hard for some people and not others? And I think she's asking, do I date or ditch him? But I like the second part of the question. There, my guess is people, and it's true. I mean, I see this all the time. There are some people that go through a breakup and they're like, ah, this was rough. It's going to sting, but I'll get back out there. Give me a few days to process this. And they're okay. They're just mentally bad. And then there's other ones that are like, oh my God, Jamie, I need a coaching session. Help me. I can't get over this. I can't breathe. And I think what happens is imagine that you're driving down a road and the road of life, if you will. If you didn't plan to hit a bump in the road, and you did. Some people are like, oh, well, I hit a bump in the road. You know, I got to deal with this bump in the road. I got a flat tire. I got a speeding ticket. I got the flu. Whatever it is, something happened and my plan took a turn or hit a bump. And there are some people that can just, okay, that's what happens in life. Things don't always go perfectly. And if you're going through a breakup and your world was rocked a little because you thought this was headed in a different direction, you can't handle that. So my guess is the people that can't handle a breakup can't handle anything in life that doesn't go exactly according to plan. And it's really sad. But if they can sort of catch that, this is what life is. You know what I'm saying, Eric? Not everything goes exactly as you want it to be. Yeah. You might burn the dinner. You might realize you don't have an ingredient you need. Things happen in life that are not perfect. But it's not over. It's not a big enough issue to crash. What do you think? How do you think she handles that, Eric?
Date, I guess. I don't know. I don't have much to say about this topic. I think that, you know, people, I think people should get over stuff quicker, but I don't know. I mean, that's just me. I think that, is it a sign of mental toughness to be able to get over something? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe people just need to, people need to experience this stuff. I don't know.
But you said mental toughness. It's an emotional strength when you can logically look at something. But a lot of people see that as, oh, there are people that would see that as, oh, he's such a jerk. He doesn't feel anything. He just moved on. And people criticize it. There's two types of people and then a whole bunch in between. But there's mentally strong and mentally weak, or emotionally strong and emotionally weaker. Emotionally weak people, usually it stems from pain and sadness and rejection and weakness. Sometimes emotionally strong people, they could stem from lack of emotional nurturing. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's what it is.
What difference does it make?
It doesn't make a difference, but you're dating somebody that kind of, if this is a problem and it brings the relationship down, when you describe how happy you are and how much you like them, that has to be part of the equation. If there's a lot of negativity and he brings sadness and unhappiness into the relationship, you got to reevaluate how great is that relationship, because that can be draining. I like the honesty. I like that he can tell you, but yeah, sometimes you need to say, all right, enough. Can we move on? Can we not talk about this
point
tonight?
Does it make?
Because it does get exhausting. Something you found that was funny that you're going to share?
Yeah, this is good. You should wear headphones for
this. What difference at this point does it make?
You can't laugh on the show while you're looking at a video without telling us why you're laughing.
The people can hear it, just you can't. Anyway, let's move on. Let's move along.
All right, Eric, that's it for me today. You have anything else you want to add?
I have nothing.
All right, go to my website. That's gut5minutes.com. If you want a coaching session or I can help you with your love life, save my phone number in your phone as the date doctor because you never know when you'll need it. But 15-minute coaching sessions are just $25, and the number is 860-324-6679. And don't forget, follow us on Facebook, The Date Doctor. Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everybody.